Earlier this year, DraftKings celebrated golf's first two majors by crowning the first ever fantasy golf millionaires. And with the third major starting next week, DraftKings is picking up right where they left off by doling out $3 million in prizes and crowning fantasy golf's next millionaire. Any questions?
Actually, I got some questions.
Shoot, buddy.
Do you only win money on the major tournaments with DraftKings?
Great question. DraftKings.com is a one-week fantasy golf site where you can win huge prizes every tournament.
Wow, every tournament. That's amazing. Now, my buddy plays with DraftKings, but he loves golf. I don't really like golf. I like Uno. Will I have fun?
First of all, you're a grown man who loves Uno, and I love that about you. Whether you live and breathe golf or you just love the thrill of fantasy sports, DraftKings lets you experience the game in a whole new way by playing to win $1 million.
Wow, how does it work?
Just pick six golfers, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. This is the biggest one-week fantasy golf contest ever.
Sounds amazing. When does it start?
The event begins with the tournament, all right? So choose your players before next Wednesday night, and there could be a giant check with your name on it Sunday afternoon. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code ALN to play for free for a shot to become a fucking millionaire. Enter ALN now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Can't wait to play. Just need the name of the website.
Are you serious, man?
Of course not. DraftKings.com.
There you go. At some point, every one of us embarks on a journey to find love. We meet people, we date, we get in and out of relationships, all with the hope of finding someone with whom we share a deep connection with. Hilarious comedian Aziz Ansari has just come out with a new book called Modern Romance. It's already a New York Times bestseller, and in the book, Aziz combines his irreverent humor with cutting-edge social science to give us an unforgettable tour of our new romantic world. Aziz teamed up with an NYU sociologist and designed a massive research project that included hundreds of interviews and focus groups from Tokyo to Buenos Aires to Wichita, Kansas, and they analyzed behavioral data and enlisted the world's leading social scientists. It's unlike any social science or humor book we've ever seen before. Aziz is one of the best comics in the game. We all know that. We loved him on Parks and Rec. We love him in all the movies he's been in. And you know, this book is just a hilarious, thoughtful, and in-depth exploration of the pleasures and perils of modern romance. I mean, personally, I love this book because, I'm a single dude, and I have come up in the age of dating apps, which is a $2.4 billion industry. I mean, people are getting married so much later in life because 38% of people are on single people that claim to be single and dating are on these apps, and you know, it's just making your early 20s into this relentless hunt for more romantic options. One of the things that really stood out in this book for me, not only is it Aziz's just very astute observations at love and romance in the modern world, because he came up in it with when he was dating before apps and Facebook and all that stuff, and then kind of was at the precipice of it and has used all of it. And he references the story of how his folks, you know, had an arranged marriage, and his dad met his wife, Aziz's mom. They've been married for 35 years, and they met some families in the neighborhood arranged for them. And at first, Aziz's dad said that she was a little too tall, then met a girl and said she was too short, and then met his now wife and Aziz's mom and said that she was the appropriate height. They talked for like 30 minutes, and then a week later decided to get married. And he explains in the book, like, the ups and downs they have, like any relationship, any couple, and how, you know, the dopamine and the amazing adrenaline that we get from the early stages of a relationship are so empowering and so overwhelmingly emotional and great. And then, like any drug, because dopamine is the same, I guess, chemical that's released in your body that cocaine gives off. And like any drug, it wears off, and then you're forced to really figure out, person on person, what's going on, what drives you, what desires and needs you guys have for each other. And Aziz, it's really incredible when you see a comic that's so smart and funny to really tackle something like this that is so relatable and make it funny but also very personal. And for me, being the product of parents that were married 20 years and then called it quits, it makes me look under even a bigger microscope of just the way people meet and the way people connect and what keeps people together. you know, I feel like social media is hurting and helping that. And all these apps, people are meeting and staying together, and it's breaking people apart. And Aziz gets into all that stuff in this book and these experiments they did and how much on the road that he talks to people and gets true stories. It's incredible. And it's great to see a comic that made everyday people so comfortable to share their stories. And Aziz shares that in this book, which the AV Club raves. It's hard to think of another celebrity book that also feels like breaking news. Aside from the jokes, the science of modern romance, the title of Aziz Ansari's book, holds water and is absolutely fascinating. The co-author of Freakonomics, Stephen Levitt, says, "Not only did I laugh my ass off, I really learned stuff. Where was this book when I was 22 years old?" The book is available. It's hilarious. It's a great insight to modern romance. The title of the book by Aziz Ansari. And to find out more, check out the book at book.azizansari.com. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody. It's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Well, thank you so much for coming out this weekend, Parlor Live, Bellevue, Washington, my home club. As you can tell, it was a lot of fun. My voice is pretty shot. Four amazing shows, so many friends and people I hadn't seen in a while from back in the day, high school teachers, so many of my best buds from up here. Really appreciate all the support and love. Shows were so fun. Did a bunch of new material, and Part of the Live is just the best, man. They just do it right. And the shows were great. And I got really drunk the first night and ordered Paul Blart 2 at 4 in the morning. Yeah, some people make mistakes. Some people drink and drive. Some people drink and fight. I drink and order shitty movies at 4 in the morning. What a mistake. Oh, God. Yeah, there's no need for me to further review Paul Blart 2. I'll just say this. Don't see it. Anyway, appreciate the love again. The shows were amazing. Parlor Live, the best. Thanks for coming out, and thanks for continuing to subscribe to the podcast. By the way, so many ALN listeners came out to the shows this week, and I can't even tell you how great that is to meet you guys in the flesh. It's the best. We have the best pod fans on planet Earth. I guarantee it. And Brad and I both love when you guys come out. I signed some mugs. I signed some shirts. It was the best. Some Ronin the Quay shirts was unbelievable. So thank you for subscribing on iTunes. Thank you for rating it and giving it a 5-star rating and a comment on the iTunes page. If you're listening right now, take a minute. Do it right now. It takes 2 seconds. Helps us climb the pod charts and continue to get the word out about the About Last Night podcast around the world. So thank you so much. And of course, go to AstoriaMerchandise.com to get all your ALN merch, t-shirts, mugs, the Ronin the Quave shirts still up there, the Titanic shirts. We've got some hats coming too, really pumped about that, some stickers. So keep getting all your merch, wear it, bring it to the shows, we'll sign it, keep showing your support for the pod that way. Tour dates coming up. Brad Williams, where's he going to be? Well, he's going to be in Toledo, Ohio at the Funny Bone in Toledo, Ohio. Brad Williams, Funny Bone, Toledo, Ohio, July 16th through the 19th. Go see Brad in Toledo, Ohio. And then Brad Williams is going to be at the Montreal Comedy Festival. That's a big fucking deal. Biggest comedy festival in the world. Brad will be there July 24th through the 28th in Montreal, Canada. Go see Brad. Montreal Comedy Festival, July 24th through the 28th. I will be all around Los Angeles for the next couple weeks. Check my website, AdamRayTV.com, comedy store, Laugh Factory, improv. A lot of fun dates coming up. I don't really hit the road again until August. For dates in Reno and Las Vegas at the Laugh Factory in August and September, because I got to shoot a TV show for TBS with my buddy Eliza Schlesinger. We're going to shoot it in Atlanta. It's a game show. Really pumped about it. You guys are going to be... It's hilarious. You know, I never thought I really wanted to host something, but if I could get a show where I could really be myself and be funny and do it with a friend like Eliza, I was like, fuck yeah. So we're going to do that. And then I'm also making a stop in Boston to shoot another movie with my man Paul Feig, who keeps hooking it up. And can't really say too much about it, but if you know what Paul's working on, then put two and two together. So today's episode, speaking of Paul Feig, I met this girl on the heat. She's one of the funniest people on planet Earth. You might know her from her popular UCB show and podcast, Rana and Beverly. You might know her from Spy, Two Broke Girls, Arrested Development, United States of Terror, Other Space, New Girl, The Crazy One, Silicon Valley, The League. She's been all over the place. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met, and we were lucky enough to get her to come by the podcast today. I'm talking about the very funny Jessica Chaffin. That's right, Jessica Chaffin. If you don't know her, look her up. She's hilarious. Rod and Beverly is the name of the podcast. And, you know, we got to know each other from doing The Heat. She was one of the Boston family members of Melissa's, you know, Joey McIntyre's girlfriend. So funny. And, you know, we get into that. We get into her comedy background, making this crazy move to Los Angeles, which is a big thing for a lot of people to do because it's very intimidating to move out here and try to pursue this business. She moved from New York on September 10th, 2001. Fucking bananas. She'll get into that story. We talk about Paul Feig. We talk about movies. We talk about sexual positions. We talk about music. We talk about Brad's size. It's we cover a lot on this one. Some of these pods, we drive down a couple roads and then find a lot of different stop signs and shortcuts. And this one, it was crazy. We hit a lot of different topics. It's very interesting. It's very funny. And you're going to love her. Follow Jess on Twitter at Jessica Chaffin. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. And now that we got the Twitter handles out of the way, that's all the merch info. Those are the tour dates. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special About Last Night episode with the very funny Jessica Chaffin.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. A dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
You like anymore. That?
Yeah.
That's what we
you
do.
You look so handsome, wow. Adam Ray. Did you get a haircut?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Trimmed the beard up today a little bit.
Oh, don't worry, I'm just going to remain it. Being a troll
no,
over
no.
here.
No, I'm the troll here.
Stop it.
The troll.
How dare you?
I always refer to myself as a troll. Always.
As president of the local troll chapter,
how dare you? Obviously are not looking around. if you think you're the president, you are not looking around.
Well, how was your day today? What's an LA
Are we
day?
Recording already?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
When did that start?
We go.
I think
from the beginning?
I think once you complimented
all about
my
the candles?
Once you complimented my beard, I hit record.
Oh, so they missed, and no one knows anything about
about your
my
candle
battles,
banter?
My battle with fragrance, yeah.
Well, let's get into it, though.
No, let's not. But I didn't know that I was still being rude and answering an email. Hold
no,
on.
You can still do
it's
that.
It's really important.
That's okay.
Small victory I'm writing.
She's responding to that very important email right now. No, you are. Send.
Yeah, you are. You are. There we go.
Are you an email and driver?
I got the last word. I got the last. You know, I just had a little epiphany moment on the way over here, which is I fully do text and drive or I don't. I try not to email and drive, but I will. I do it. I do it to my best ability. But what I realized is, and I do still believe this, but what I realized is that everybody thinks they're the only ones that are good at doing it.
Yeah.
And I was driving and I was looked
I
over.
I say good as if it is an acquired skill. And
no, like
is.
I'm good at it. So it's yeah. fine. Yeah. I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm yeah. good at it.
I know
and
how
so,
much to look up from.
Yeah.
It's like the people on SNL who are good at not looking at the cue cards.
Yes.
You're great
yes.
at looking at the phone and then
exactly.
being like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm driving a moving vehicle.
I'm an excellent driver.
You have the perfect look down to look up.
I just
text
have
to
great
type
instincts,
ratio.
I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And
she drives like Marvel's Daredevil,
and,
apparently,
and real blind spots in other ways. But I believe that I'm an excellent driver, and okay. that I know
are
when
you,
to look up and not. But the truth is,
yeah.
I looked
Please
around.
Please don't lie on this podcast.
No, and I was. Don't worry. I wish I. If only I'm never quick enough with a lie. It's always like, oh. Shit, I just told the truth. The fucking problem is that all the dummies
yeah.
think that they're good at it too.
Yeah.
Oh, how dare
like,
these
I looked
people.
Around
News
and I was like,
dummies.
Oh my God, all the idiots are texting right. Like, all the fucking dummies are texting right now.
And those are the ones who
that
just
would be
stare
everybody,
down
everybody
at the
else
phone
like,
for more than 10 seconds before looking up.
Yes. And also, like,
just
the people that don't know how to creep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't know how to creep on the line. So when you're stopped at a light, how right. when you move forward and whatever.
Isn't it crazy that we'll creep without even looking up? I'll realize that I'm letting my foot off the gas and creeping up, and I'm still looking down, and then all of a sudden I'll look up and go, oh shit, dude, you are moving,
but it's
and you
efficiency.
Weren't even looking.
You didn't hit it. You're not going to hit it.
But I also
anybody.
Have what's called peripheral vision.
Oh.
And a good...
Excuse me. Excuse me.
This podcast
That was
is,
his word of the day this morning. Don't act like he uses this all the time in casual conversation.
I didn't know this was like a superhero podcast.
Last week, it was nothing but onomatopoeia. The whole damn week.
So boring. Yeah. People that think that that's a
thing.
I'm
not a fan of that.
Yeah. I mean, people that think like, now I'm going to show you I know something.
No,
it's like... All you showed me is you went to fourth grade. That's all you just showed me. Bam! Splash! Zap! Or that you read a lot of Batman, I guess.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I was also going to get on board with the Batman reference.
Oh, the old school, the Batman TV show.
Yeah, you're a big fan?
Not 1960s?
I'm a big fan. I've seen a shitload of it, but I'm going to say yes, because nothing looked like that. And nothing looked like it again.
No.
And Adam West, I mean, come on.
I mean, what's not to love?
TV's not James Bond. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
The real, you know.
He was 007.
He's Bruce Wayne. Yeah. I mean, he is Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like every Batman we've seen since, whether it be a cartoon or the movie version, is all like the dark stuff, which, don't get me wrong, I love. But I still think there's a place for like campy Batman.
Well, I think what you're also saying is that without even knowing it, or maybe you do, we're going to find out, is that because he was so good, everyone had to go to the dark side after that. Everyone had to say like, I have to play a complicated Batman, and because Adam West was so awesome at being at like skipping into the picture when he had to do something, you know, like he was always sort of arriving from just off screen at all times. Like never really, there are no superheroes anymore that don't have to actually exert themselves. Like he was so like just finishing a sandwich before he entered like almost every scene, you know, like from the craft service table.
Yeah. It's like Iron Man is always working on another crazy suit or car that's going to be able to, you know,
he doesn't
fly.
In fairness, though, he doesn't do too much running either.
He doesn't.
Like, he's no Chris Evans. He doesn't have to be, like...
There it is.
RDJ, as they like to call him, has figured out on the interweb, has figured out how to not have to... He's in very good shape. He's like a yoga person.
Okay.
But he has figured out...
Chris Evans or Adam West?
RDJ.
Robert Downey Jr.
Well, here's the thing. I was in a movie called Iron Man. I was also in a movie called Heart and Souls. I don't know if you saw that. It was a real tearjerker. I was also in a movie called Chaplin, in which I won an Oscar. I also did a lot of coke back in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, that is exactly who I'm describing. You are the man I'm talking
about. RDJ. God, I got to
get up on your acronyms.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, I hate it when they call him RDJ. I don't like it.
Well, I heard DJ and I thought DJ Tanner. So that just lets you know where my head's at right now. Okay, so you...
Anyway, I'm just saying that he doesn't have to do anything. He gets to wear the suit, so he doesn't really have to be in shape.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Chris Evans is obviously in shape. I have to tell you, Chris Evans was a very surprising addition for me. Captain America,
world.
I was like, I can't. With the shield and the, like...
Well,
I'm
because
not,
it's too...
Not.
It's like... It's so it's almost like Superman, where he's so incredibly good.
He
doesn't have any flaws at all. So it's like, come on, guy.
Superman, I'll tell you, literally two nights ago, I was watching the Superman with Brandon Routh. What's that?
Yeah.
Whichever that was.
Yeah.
Well, Superman Returns.
That happened.
The one that happened in between things that should have happened.
Yeah. Right. The one where he's got a kid with Lois, and the one where...
Something gross like that.
Yeah. And
contact lenses and like
at that point,
Kate Bosworth. Literally, they could have had mannequins playing these parts.
I think they should have rented out the theaters and advertised Superman the movie and just showed old episodes of Lois and Clark with Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher.
Fine.
I'm in. I'm good.
I approve this marketing plan. I approve this marketing plan.
Do what you're going to do.
I just don't like... I'll
pay for
like
the whole
Superman.
Thing.
I
just get it done.
I don't like the guilt Superman of, I feel guilty for having these powers. No! You're
Superman,
fucking Superman.
That's his
MO,
huh?
Superman is the truth of Superman. Superman is boring.
Yeah.
He's boring.
Because he's too powerful.
He is because he's fucking boring. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have anything to say about anything. He's not complicated. All of this birth origin business.
This sounds like the woman who found out Superman is not a real person and cannot date him.
No, well, I will say
he's boring, has nothing to bring to the table.
I do still find that disappointing.
He's horrible in bed. What?
I do always find it, because I'm a little bit of a Lois Lane if I had to be something. If I had to be in a universe of something, I'm definitely a nosy, don't take no for an answer, Karen Allen kind of type.
Nice.
I would say, but more of a, my dream would have been to be Karen Allen in Raiders.
My God, yeah.
Which was like, come on. What she gets to have a bar fight and she drinks herself under the table.
That's
the greatest scene.
The scene where she plays drunk and then all of a sudden sobers up when the guy passes out and then has another drink just for shits and giggles.
Yep. When
come
she
on.
And another drink, somebody shoots a scotch bottle or whiskey bottle on the bar, and she sticks her mouth under the tap when it's when it's going onto the barrel
during a gunfight.
Yeah, during a gunfight. Yeah, see, that is like that's what women should be doing.
Well,
this is what women should be aspiring to.
Maybe,
this kind of behavior.
Maybe our boy Paul Feig should resurrect Karen Allen and put her
He's
in the next action movie.
He's not paying enough attention.
Go back and watch the classics, BF.
I mean, that shit is great. I mean, but now they're going to try and make Chris Pratt Harrison Ford, and I don't know how I feel.
I don't know, because I don't know how I feel about it either. I think it'll be great, but I don't know. I loved
him in Jurassic Park.
So did I. Loved him in Guardians. Will he just be that?
Let's talk about Jurassic World. Or did you guys already do that 100 times?
No. We didn't at all.
I've never talked enough movies on this podcast.
We both saw it.
What'd you think? I saw it.
I'm not liking the attitude coming from you right now.
That big sigh usually is not followed by any sort of Jurassic World reference.
It's not like, oh, I saw Jurassic World. It was amazing.
Let me prep for this hoorah.
Yeah. I loved it. I totally
loved
it.
You loved it. Why?
Because it's dinosaurs fighting each other.
Not a lot of the time.
But it's just, it's dinosaurs. It's a lot of them.
That's why I went.
Right.
Yeah,
so
dinos.
What was the problem?
I went for dinos.
Yeah. You felt like Jeff Goldblum in the first one. There's going to be dinosaurs on the dinosaur tour, right?
Jeff Goldblum. I do love
Jeff
Goldblum.
Throw him in. That was my biggest problem, I think. The movie ended and I go, where was Goldblum? I yelled that out in the theater.
Which is the name of Adam's next one-act play.
Yeah, I'm going to do a one-act play, go, where's Goldblum?
I think that's another great idea you just came up with.
Change your apartment. Change the world.
Another great idea.
By the way, Goldblum should play Waldo in like some weird indie documentary about the actual person that like Waldo books were based off of.
Jeff Goldblum is so good.
He's so good.
When he is used correctly. In Grand Budapest Hotel, when he plays the lawyer, Monsieur Kovacs or whatever his name is, even just the way he unpacks the will and then like all he has to do, he has like one line in that scene, which is like, I'm now going to read the will and this is what's going to happen. That's my line.
Yeah.
And he just like the way he looks, so he's such a perfect, like he's a real actor. He's like a real doll you can move around and it looks like you want it to look, and it's in great shape and its face is interesting. Yep. And like he's
very
just good. He's good.
You want to watch him all the time.
And I know so much has been discussed about this, and I was less bothered, I have to say, by the heels that Bryce Dallas Howard is wearing, which were it's just stupid, fine, whatever.
I love that's
like,
definitely
so dumb,
noticed,
and that's something. Well, me, that's like something that's been discussed as like,
has it?
This is like a big thing that people are saying that the movie's misogynistic because, you know, it's like the man saves the day and the woman's in her heels and like, oh boy, now what?
But
she's
an in charge woman, and there's several times throughout the movie where she does save the day.
Oh, please, with her flair. I mean, give me a break. Oh, the woman who was afraid to do anything all of a sudden is like, hold on a second, I'm gonna go get this T-Rex right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's her coming of age of like, no, I've gotta turn into the protector of my family.
The people who she couldn't even identify out of a crowd as her nephews,
she's a modern
earlier
workaholic woman,
which is the other point to the misogynistic like, oh, don't you think if you had babies you'd be better at protecting people? Like, it's just like, can we please can't she just have a job and he's got a job and like,
at the end,
let's get the dinos
both
out here.
At the end she balances both.
Yeah, but who fucking cares? Who needs it?
Okay.
What do I need that parable for? Like, oh, women can do it. Who cares what they can do or they can't do? We're about to get eaten by dinosaurs. Can everybody pitch in here? That's the whole story. That's the whole story of the movie. Pitch in.
Slightly better title for the movie.
It should have been called Pitch In.
But that's literally the only thing that has to happen. Like, whoever was like, I feel like she needs something. Should we talk about whether she's going to have a family or should not? It's like, The world does not care.
Yeah, I
don't care about your crying child inside the fucking hamster ball.
I also love Judy Greer, but
who's going to eat us?
I didn't like the cutback, like...
And I love Andy Buckley, too, who played her husband.
Yeah.
But, like, who needs a divorce? What is this? Yeah. You could just tell that they shot, like,
things.
9 million more hours of everything. Right. And then they were like, oh, yeah, we forgot. It's
it
only about dinosaurs.
Jurassic versions, because there were so many different versions of the story.
It should have just fucking dinos. It was like a hungry. Should have been called Hungry Dinosaurs is what it should have been called.
In that way, it was kind of like a Quentin Tarantino version of Jurassic Park.
Well,
where
generous.
Where there's like four different stories going on at the same time that somehow
except none of them are stories.
Yeah, they're just like little half stories. Like, hey, why are you sad? We're in a Jurassic World seeing dinosaurs, and that's our biggest. That's your biggest dream ever. Mom and dad are going through a divorce. Cry, cry, cry. Next scene, over it.
Yeah, and also the teen, the sort of like broody teen
of like I'm just horny.
Was just so creepy. He was like creepy. Like right? Like leering at the. I mean, I get it. Okay, we've all been in a theme park and eyed another 13-year-old. Do you know what I mean? Like, where you're
I
like,
did it last week.
Where you're like, oh, no, gulp. But like when you know when you're like 13,
of
you're
course.
Stuck in line at Disney World and you're like,
catch eyes.
I wonder if maybe I'll run into that guy at the arcade later. You know, like that sort of thing. Or like skiing was the big one. You'd
oh, really?
Go skiing and there would be like an arcade room. And it'd be like, maybe we should go down. Hey, can we get some quarters to go down to the arcade?
This is where
room?
Everybody went to get warm. Now, yeah, where like, was this? Skiing where? Back in Massachusetts?
That was in New Hampshire, yeah.
You grew up in Massachusetts.
I did grow up in Massachusetts.
But you go skiing in New Hampshire.
I did. Can I just quickly say I was really bothered by the fact that they put her in a silk outfit, and all I could think about was how, like,
just to let
wardrobe,
our listeners know real quick, we
wardrobe,
won't be discussing Jurassic Park the whole
think,
time.
All I had to think, it's Jurassic World.
Okay,
sure.
You're right.
All I could think about was, like, how wardrobe had to keep steaming that stupid shirt that she was wearing.
You're right.
And, like, over, and they're shooting in Costa Rica, like, whose fucking dumb idea is it to not at least put her in, like, cotton or linen?
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
so stupid.
This is,
and then she
this
was
the
maybe supposed to look like Faye Ray at the end. I don't know. Like, where she was like, everything was torn. She was in a white, you know, like the like a little King Kong maybe wink.
Yeah.
I think I'm giving it too much credit. But
Now let me.
And she was like a person. She's alive. I couldn't. I wasn't clear on that.
Now let me ask you this: were you stoned when you saw it?
No, I do not.
I
see movies
was
stoned,
and that's why I thought it was fantastic.
I will not go to the movies stoned.
Why?
Because I enjoy movies too much to see them stoned.
Well, I think.
Don't you enjoy them more if you turn off your hypersensitivity to?
No, I get more. It's not. And marijuana and I are not close friends because
I would love
I get too,
to be
I think
the one
too much.
To
I think
take
too much.
You out of that mindset.
Oh, I'll smoke weed with you. That's not a problem.
Okay.
I'm not like a.
And then we'll get into a car, and you'll text and drive us there, and we'll get there, and we'll see. Let me just tell you how much when I saw Planet of the Apes, and both. Jurassic World and Planet of the Apes were two movies that took me at least 48 hours to readjust my brain to the world that both those things were not real.
Mm.
And that was fun for a little bit.
Mm.
Also terrifying because I'd hear some rustling in some bushes outside my apartment and be like, oh shit, the Velociraptors are here to eat us.
They ended up being pretty cool in the end.
They were
huh?
very cool.
They were pretty cool guys, those Velociraptors.
Yeah.
Blue.
Also,
can't wait to get the blue action figure when
blue,
it comes out at Christmas.
Delta.
Yeah. He was the only one that had a name. Everyone else was a letter or another.
Yeah, they were
and what about G-Mon, the new G-Mon Hunsu? We'll be seeing more of him, I suppose.
I think so.
Black man with French accent.
Yep.
We haven't had one of those in a while.
I was proud that they didn't kill him.
Not is since
that,
Cool Running.
To be honest with you, I was so nervous the whole time. I was like, oh shit, now they're going to kill this guy. They have to. He's the black animal handler.
And he's
nice.
He's
disposable.
He's
By the
so
way,
good.
Black animal handler is the next superhero movie.
I mean,
I wish Idris Elba. I want everything for him. I want everything for him.
I mean, granted the first guy who did die in the movie was a Mexican.
Who
was, or
Costa
Rican,
he got chomped from one of the raptors?
When the Alphasaurus or whatever that thing.
The Alphasaurus. What was it called?
I don't know.
It was that is what it was called, but not. It was called like Indominus Rex.
Indominus Rex. Yeah.
Alphasaurus.
All right,
same thing.
Now that's a sober brain remembering the name of the dinosaur.
But also the whole stupid like that's not a dinosaur. I was like, that looks a lot like a T-Rex to me.
Yeah.
That's a hybrid.
Yeah, but like when they were like, it's also made a tree frog, and it's also made. I was like, you know what? Too much.
Too many facts.
Too much science.
Yeah. But he's also a big fan of the Knicks.
We don't even know what fucking dinosaurs...
You know, they had all these weird, like...
He's a Knicks fan. Like, no! No!
No, we threw in some Phil Jackson.
Hates Randy Newman, loves John Tesh. It's like, all right, these are facts that are not that necessary.
If he loved John Tesh, he probably would have been a more sensitive dinosaur.
No kidding.
It was a she, wasn't it? They're always women. The real now, that's territorial ones are always ladies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that? What does that say about society?
I think it has to do with the female lion. I think it's like the one who protects the, you know, like they protect the herd. Like they're always, I think women in that kingdom anyway, and probably in our own too, but like, who cares, are naturally more protective because they have to worry about their young.
Yeah.
Where men just have to worry about getting young made. Like, how are we going to get one of those to get made? Right. And then when it's made, you're like...
That was a sex joke, Adam, right? It was a very clever sex joke, but it was a sex joke.
It's just, well, we got to get some of these made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they come out and you're like, job done. Yeah.
Now, are you just like an all consumer of everything pop culture? Like, are you like, we've talked about movies.
I know nothing
Avengers.
About music. I have no soul and I know nothing about music.
Okay.
Except sort of.
Okay,
but not really. That if I have a blind spot, it's that. But
you have like a few different flavors and tastes, and you just hone in on those, and you ride those.
I like to listen to music in the car, but like and I like to sing in the car, but I like to listen to the 80s channel on Sirius.
I mean, yes, I know.
Sure. Like, like to listen to, like, I get excited if Def Leppard comes on. That's basically like Pour Some Sugar on me came on the other day, and I was like, yeah. And then I was like,
midday.
Why does this speak to you still at this point in your life? Like, why did your day just get better because that came on?
I mean, I feel like you don't have to justify yourself if Pour Some Sugar on Me comes on. You're like, you
know
what?
You got the peaches, I got the cream.
The day just got better.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, mine is
one-arm drummer.
Yeah, see, mine is the 90s.
That's a story of triumph.
Color Me Bad. Anything from
Ew, really?
Just because it's hilarious.
I'm going
to
sex you up.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Ooh. That guy was the best. He was so fat.
Who doesn't want... Yeah, of course, and he sang like an angel.
Yes,
and he probably got laid because of it.
And did he? He and Sugar Ray should have rented an apartment together.
So funny.
He and Mark McGrath. They hit like the same level. And then Mark McGrath went on like Extra or whatever.
Yeah.
But they kind of in their worlds. I feel like Color Me Bad Guy was more like the county fair crowd.
Yes.
And then the other one or state fair crowd. Mark McGrath was like legitimately someone that people really wanted to sleep with for a while.
For sure. The Color Me Bad Guy, if he was doing county fairs, would probably just slip in behind people doing like the squirt gun out of the clown's mouth and just go, ooh. And they were like, oh my God, is that Color Me Bad Guy?
I can fully picture that guy just like boning anybody behind like the pig stall. Yeah.
Or
like
the whack-a-mole.
The whack-a-mole. The whack-a-mole, yeah.
Do you think he would work in the ooh, like whenever he could?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think he's a
what
lip.
What a dumb
I think
question,
he's a
Brad.
Lip,
yeah.
I think he's a lip biter too.
A lip biter?
I think he's a lip
Wait,
biter.
Wait, to try to pull off a little
like,
bit of...
Like when he, you know, just like when he gets really into it, he like bites his lower lip. Yeah. That's what I would say.
Well, that's what I do.
And by the way, I only imagine him doing it doggy style, or I should say from behind.
So no,
let's not put her on her necessarily put her on all fours.
Sure,
let's just call it from behind.
Yeah, just from behind. So let's give her some options.
She could be
but like that
up.
Guy for sure, because otherwise I guess in that world you have to deal with a woman looking at your stomach. Mm-hmm. Right. That's got to be a men must. You tell me, fellas.
Okay. Yeah.
You must choose positions that flatter you, like not, or do you only choose positions that feel good?
Ooh.
Wow,
I don't know how to answer this.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, some of
it's just geometry.
See,
like, how do you match up with the person
you
that
up?
You're?
Yeah. And obviously, me being 4'4", if I'm having sex with a 6'1" girl, then
lucky you.
There's, I mean, yeah, then victory.
any which way but loose.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I think to answer your question, I go for the positions that feel good, not the ones that are the most flattering to me, because in my mind, it's like, I have you in bed.
Yeah, we're here already.
Win.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
That's a very good point.
Like, I don't know if any woman... I don't want to say ever, because... I mean, I've been taught to never say never. But
by Justin Bieber?
obviously.
Nice.
I could have gone James Bond, but no, nope. Let's go Bieber.
Yep. He's the Bond of today.
Something people can relate to.
Absolutely, because I don't think a woman's ever seen a guy at a certain angle from a certain position while having sex going, oh, no, this is stopping now. No, no.
Oh, like my ass looks big?
Yeah.
Like a man being like, oh, gosh, she can see like my whatever.
Lack of definition in my calves.
Yeah.
Well,
Adam Ray, I guess we'll toss the question to you, which is how much you care about your looks?
No, I whatever feels the best.
The best.
Yeah.
Because if Adam cared about his looks during sex, he would just bone the woman with his hair.
Hilarious.
He would just be like
he'd turn the fan on. He'd make sure he had the wind coming through his hair.
Were you here last night?
Was I, Adam?
Uh-oh.
Don't tell the listeners. Don't tell your listener. I had a real easy time finding the place today.
You really did.
I still had the parking pass.
It's
interesting because I feel like for women. Mm-hmm. And what do I know? Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. It's been 1,000 years since I don't know. Let's just say it's been 1,000 years.
Okay.
Since I was a woman, since I existed in the land of men and women.
That's okay.
Because now I'm, I don't know, a magical changeling. I've become a magical changeling. No, but I think that there is that, especially, and this is so boring, so we don't have to talk about this too much.
No, this is interesting.
But like this whole selfie culture, every time a child, a girl, or whatever, like girls take pictures, it's all about how can I make my mouth. There was a whole thing a few weeks ago about what level the camera is at, so that you're basically at the same level as
POV
if you were giving a man a blowjob.
Oh my God.
Did you see this article?
No, that makes total sense.
Yeah, like somebody did a thing, by a study, I mean, somebody wrote about it on BuzzFeed and everyone agreed it was true or whatever. Thank you. But basically that women hold the camera. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's all good. Yeah.
Jesus, Chaffin. act like you've never used a microphone before. But you hold the camera at an angle, mm-hmm. which is equivalent to the angle of like a man looking down on you when you're giving
that's
him head.
Sick. And were they saying that this happens just instinctually?
I think it does happen instinctually. Yes. And also that you're always trying to get like a pouty, like your most also like baby-like face. Like it's kind of like an animation. There is an actual ratio for what makes a character cute, which is like the eyes have to be this big and the mouth has to be this small and the nose has to be this small and head has to be this size. Yep. Like they teach you how to draw those
things.
They
pretty much just mirror my face.
And so you are cute.
I'm adorable.
Very cute.
Way too soon, huh?
We had last night.
Wow, she's moving on quick.
We've got tonight.
This is unfair.
Moving on.
We've got tonight. Is that an Enrique Iglesias
song? No, it's
Waiting for Tonight.
Is it Kenny Rogers?
Okay.
Just make it last, baby. Who is that? Is that
nice.
Kenny Rogers?
It might be.
Who knows?
It's not Color Me Bad.
It's a ooh. Anyway, that's a thing.
So,
what I'm saying is that girls automatically are concerned, and it's also like what kind of lingerie will you wear, or like if you're having the, let's be generous and call it the third date. If it's the first date and or meeting, I would say I go by your rule, which is we're here.
Yeah.
He's here.
Yeah.
Yep.
If he's here, he knows what he's gotten himself into.
Right.
He already got a look at this on its way to or from the bathroom or the bar.
Yeah.
Everyone has agreed that we'll be porking this or that.
Yeah.
Right.
So
all
bets are off.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is probably why a one night stand can be a lot of fun, because you're like, fuck it. No stakes whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. You stink. I look amazing. Let's get this done.
Done.
But I think I do think a lot of thought goes into like, and also I think, well, who cares? Oh God, who cares about the difference between men and women? It's so dumb.
I mean,
it's a topic
that's been discussed at great length and is always humorous. And I believe when I forgot what the name of the comic was, but when they were going overseas,
Paula Poundstone.
Yes, mm-hmm. Paula Poundstone. Mm-hmm. When Paula Poundstone,
nice pull.
Asked Chris Rock, they're like, I'm going overseas.
I like anything that goes after when Paula Poundstone asked Chris Rock.
Sure, she said like when I'm going overseas to do a tour. They don't speak English. They don't that aren't down with American culture. What do I talk about? And Chris Rock just goes, relationships. That was my Chris Rock impression.
Yeah, that's very good.
It was horrible.
Mine is, how did we get hit? That's my Chris Rock.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
So
that's one of his favorite, my favorite bits of his, which is about men and women.
See, there you go. That's,
he's got a brilliant take on that.
I love that. You know, that bit when he says, he's talking about you're in a relationship and you've been in the relationship for a year or whatever it is. And, everything was so wonderful. And then you're sitting at a dinner table in a restaurant having an argument with your girlfriend. And you just look across the table and you say, how did we get here? And it's just like... Oh, it's so true.
True. You're not in a relationship currently.
Yeah, I am.
You are? Well, then what was last night?
Whoopsie.
That was just a whoopsie.
Letting off some steam. Hey, you can't be all things to all people.
Oh, you know? Nice.
Pretty sure Gandhi said that.
Yeah.
I was going to say Shel Silverstein.
But all right. Same thing.
No, it was Ursula Andress who said that. It was, 8 years I've been in a relationship.
Good.
Yeah.
Going great?
Good. Oh, were you worried, Adam?
Adam Ray verifies your relationship.
I was on the market, you wouldn't be safe. Is that no man in this town would be safe?
Adam Ray just put the blue check mark next to your relationship.
Yeah, verified.
Where did you meet him?
We were set up.
Ooh.
Yeah, which was like the only time I ever agreed to be set up.
And, well, 8 years. Appeared to work out.
Or something didn't go wrong. Is the other way to look at it?
I guess you could look at that relationship. Yeah, nothing's gone wrong.
Yeah.
So there's until a lot something of goes that, wrong, like, we're gonna hang out.
In the first year or two, I was like, I'm not tired of this.
Yeah, there's no reason to stop this.
He's cool and awesome and stuff. So all right.
Now, when you're doing like an improv show at the UCB, I can't have my girlfriend, person I'm dating, in the front row at my shows. I can't have that happen.
Uh-huh.
And I can't imagine, and that's what jokes I've told before. Yeah. I don't know how you would improv with that person in the front row.
Well, tell me why it bothers you. Because of course I've thought about this, but tell me why it bothers you.
Well, because I'm constantly checking up on them more than I'm paying attention to the other audience members.
Right.
Where I'm just like, did she laugh at this joke? Is she talking? Is she paying the tab? Is she texting?
Is she engaged? And does she get what I'm about?
Yes. And this joke that is clearly about her, how is she reacting to it?
Well, that's why you got to put her in the back.
Then there's that.
Yeah. I mean,
you put her in the back. Put her in the back. Is that
the back of the room?
Is that the comics code? Put her in the back.
So funny. In the special booth. No, just in a place where you can't have any sort of visual confirmation.
Do you both like people to come to your gigs, or do you not want people to come to your
gigs? I've gotten to a point where I...
Are you dating anyone?
No.
Are you dating anyone?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How long?
Since September.
Oh. Ooh. Is that 9 months? How long is that?
Something like that.
We're coming up to make it or break it time.
I know.
Yeah. It's all in threes. Like three weeks, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months.
3 feet,
you're 4'4". We established that.
Thank you. Wow, memory. Good job.
Yeah. But I think in the first year, it's all like increments of threes.
Yeah.
Like getting past three hurdles of threes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Third date.
How imperative is all that, the numbers of keeping tabs on the time that you've been spending together, important?
Oh, I don't think...
Well, you're talking to the girl that's been dating the same guy for 8 years.
Yeah.
So...
But I mean, like,
I am
remembering...
engaged.
Are you really?
For 3 years, yeah. I've been engaged.
There we go.
It's not... I think it's after 2 years... I think after 2 years, you're supposed to start asking questions.
Have you?
No, not me. Yeah. He should be asking. I'm perfectly happy with the arrangement. he should be asking some questions.
Do you just like saying the word fiancé?
I hate saying the word fiancé.
Okay.
I think it's the dumbest word. But it's weird. I usually just say my fella.
I like that.
Or my guy. Yeah. I don't want to say my guy. I don't ever say that. I never say that.
Does he call you his gal?
1920s.
He calls... I don't...
Do you guys have cute couple nicknames?
I don't like
this.
He calls me his lady, but I don't like that. And I'd like to say it now on this podcast. I don't think I've ever told him. He doesn't say it to me in front of me, so I don't ever have the opportunity to say anything. But
so he's out like, I gotta go call my lady.
My lady says it's okay. Yeah, like that's gross.
Now would my woman be better?
No, that's all. It's all gross. And I don't like to be called by my name either. Jessica. I don't like that.
So no by other female people, pronouns.
Fine. Other people, fine.
Okay. So,
and I don't want to be called Jessica by anybody.
Jess?
But Jess is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
I innately started calling you as soon as I feel like I built some rapport, which was right away because you're that endearing and inviting. You are.
Am I or am I?
You are.
Or am I sharp? Do I have sharp teeth?
Sure, but that's not what I took. You do have sharp teeth.
Aw, you've melted my heart, my icy heart.
My icy heart.
No, wait, but this was something about
the cute nicknames.
Dating,
I mean, the dating.
Nicknames. No, gig. You were talking about having people at your gigs.
Yes.
I had a weird rule when I started doing UCB, and it's so stupid looking back. Well, maybe not looking back on it now. It's not stupid. It's just like, if you're curious about my particular brand of crazy, this might shed a little light on it. But
all right, fire away.
When I first started doing improv, which was a while ago,
back in UMass,
in New York.
Okay,
I started in New York at UCB, and it was like when things were first starting.
What was that like, by the way? Just that energy of the place.
It was awesome because it was like, I think it was the only time that it was. I started so early on that the place was like just for us. You know what I mean? It's such a big community now.
So when you started, there wasn't the history of it. You didn't walk in like these walls. It's just like you guys were kind of building it up.
Yeah, it was like, well, it was never, it was always like the four main people, you know,
sure.
Amy and Ian and Matt and Matt. And they were definitely like revered and were mentors and teachers to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But they were the teachers at the time that I started.
So you took improv with Amy Poehler.
Yeah, like Amy for sure was hugely influential on me, if only just from, like, not just certainly lessons that you learn, but Amy, I think, is, at least for how I process things, is the kind of person who it was just cool to be around by osmosis. I think Melissa is like that too, actually.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, who Adam and I are incredibly intimate with.
Yeah.
And
not just intimate.
That's what I'm mostly texting incredibly. And driving with.
And by that,
and that's why I don't want to look up because I, you know, this is a great conversation.
By that I mean there's been a couple of group dinners that we've all attended.
Oh yeah.
No, she's so lovely, but
the best.
But she's the kind of person that working with her and being around her is so much more valuable than having a conversation with her about how to do something or what your philosophy is, or like she's someone you just soak it up around. And Amy is like that, at least for me. And Amy certainly was an excellent teacher and had, which I think that's such an awesome skill to be a good teacher. I think that's such a hard, like, I think that's a talent
and
that people are born with.
Yeah. Absolutely is. And for someone like Amy Poehler, how great is it that, because like the old phrase is those who can't do teach, but she can also do it and do it amazingly well.
It was true of all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they all, and each one had such a different style. And there was this guy, I don't know if you guys have come across him in your travels, but Armando Diaz, who moved with them from Chicago when they opened the theater, and he taught all of the level one classes, and I think he taught them level one. Like he was really not a performer. He performed a little, but he was really more of a teacher, and he was such an incredible teacher, and he was kind of like the sort of soul of the operation at that point. But I had this weird thing where I wouldn't repeat a character ever. Like, I just was like, I want to force myself to make a new choice every time. Because you see people playing the same stuff over and over again.
It's easy to do that,
That clearly has gone out the window for me since I play the same monsters in everything all the time. And I think people also want you in some ways to, like, they want to latch on to a, oh, I get what you are kind of thing.
1,000%.
But I didn't date anyone at the theater. I'm not suggesting that they were that they were lining up. but I had a weird thing about, like, I never wanted to be on stage doing my thing, acting like I would play men or aliens or dogs or, you know, like, you're just trying.
Whatever the scene calls for.
It was like, you're just trying so much shit at that point.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, it was such a incubator at that time because there were so few people. It's like you got so much stage time.
Right.
You know, you
That's
were
awesome.
Just on stage all of the time or in class or whatever. And I never, and this is my, like I said, my own crazy shit, but I never wanted anyone to, like, look at me on stage and think, oh, she's fucking so-and-so. like in the theater,
right? Instead of absorbing what you were putting
what
out
I was
there.
Doing,
yeah.
And I know that sounds so crazy because it's like, well, you're around all these cool, interesting people. Like, why would you not date someone? But I almost felt like I was in this like in grad school, basically. Like if you were in med school and you were super serious about wanting to be a doctor and being at the top of your class, you might say, like, I'm not going to date other students because I refuse to, like, let anybody sexualize me and therefore dismiss me.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. She's fucking a teacher, so that's how she got in that show. Or does that make any sense?
Totally.
Especially in this business.
But I did not get laid a lot by the people at the theater, and that was a mistake.
But it is especially prevalent in this business where... everyone's always looking at people.
Fuck Adam, I'll fuck anybody.
Sure, obviously. Yeah. You have no standards.
Hair, great head of hair.
Yeah. That's it.
That's all I got.
And nice teeth. Just a Rolodex of DuckTales references.
And it's circumcised. So if that's any.
DuckTales.
Woo. Anyway.
I've been fortunate in that department.
But you do have to be conscious of that in this business because this is a business where whenever someone gets anything, everyone else tries to look at them and say, well, they got this because. Fill in the blank. Because of this reason. And unfortunately, I think it does happen to women all too many times where people look at them and say, oh, well, she got that role because she's fucking so-and-so.
But guess what? If I had fucked so-and-so, maybe I'd be famous by
maybe
now.
You'd be Paul Son Poundstone.
Bitch. Yeah.
So I guess I
jokes
cut
on
off
you.
My nose to spite my face. Yeah. So what I'm saying is... If there's any president of production at any of the studios interested in a sassy redheaded Jewess,
hit up Jess Chaffin. Yeah. And hit her up while she's driving because she'll get right back to you.
I am potentially available. I'll need a tax return. But
and your last three
Rolodex. Yeah. No, I'm gonna need. I need access to. I need the last three box offices that pictures you've put out have done. Yeah.
There you go.
So now, don't fuck actors. They can't get you anything.
When did you make the decision to go from New York to Los Angeles?
Oh, I made a bad decision. Oh. I moved to Los Angeles. Excuse me, on September 10th, 2001.
Oh. Timing.
It was terrible. I didn't really intend to move exactly. I came out here.
But you left New York.
Yes, but I lived in the West Village, like with a view of the towers.
Yeah.
And I came out here to come for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. That was the idea. I was like, let me see if I like this. But the truth is, not only was it a bad time to leave because... it was literally like your house burned down and your whole family was in it.
You're not going
back. And then what? Like everybody went through this thing and you weren't there. And like, it was
just a weird feeling.
And also New York just like collapsed on itself. Like it was such a depressing, it was such a hard, it was like, I just felt totally like I was floating.
Yeah. For months afterward, you're looking at the same spot where a landmark was. Now there's just a smoking mess. Yeah. It can fuck with you.
Were you in a lot of contact with, I mean, everybody you knew back there during that time?
Yeah, but I kind of withdrew a little bit. And LA is so isolating when you first move, especially if you don't move under the best circumstances.
Yeah.
And I think the smarter thing to do would have been to stay in New York for another two or so years and keep on the path that I was on at the UCB and like build that up more. Instead, I was here kind of waiting for the theater to open out here.
Yeah,
and then when it did, that was great. But it wasn't out here yet. Right. I think Besser moved like a year after I moved.
Mm-hmm. So you just hit a wall in New York? Or were you just, I mean, what really prompted
you? I had a job that I hated. I always had a real job and was doing comedy at night. And by a real job, I mean like a job that my parents were proud of, as opposed to like being a waitress or which I think is such a smarter thing to do. Like if you know that you're passionate about performing or whatever, just doing stand-up, gigging, whatever your thing is, like you should absolutely be a bartender or a waiter or whatever so you can make that money and then leave it at the door.
Sure.
You know, I worked at Nickelodeon.
Oh, shit.
And had a great job and had a wonderful boss and, like, loved my coworkers and everything.
What did you do?
I worked in their online department. Like, I was building their website and then, like, doing this kind of behind-the-scenes magazine for them
and
stuff.
Do we blame you for Ariana Grande?
No.
Okay.
She's after my time.
Okay, you're safe.
But you blame her parents, actually, because she's a billionaire.
Ah, all right.
So you blame the people that were like, no, we can afford to do this. Like, we can afford to, like... We can afford to bankroll this album as long as we have to.
And do we thank
you? She's got a couple of jazzy numbers, though.
She does.
Yeah.
Do we thank you for Doug?
Doug?
The cartoon.
Oh, Doug. Was he on Nickelodeon? I always hated Doug. I thought
Shut off her microphone.
Wasn't Doug a Fido Dido ripoff?
What's a Fido Dido? Is that something you catch on a trip to Africa?
Fido Dido, I believe, is a French cartoon.
Okay.
And then you may remember him from like the 7-Up commercials that they did. He was like a stick drawing, Fido Dido.
But did they have the beats and did they have the hit song, IU Killer Tofu?
Mm.
Give it to her, Brad.
IU Killer Tofu.
You do not have me to thank for
killer
that.
Killer Tofu.
You do not have me to thank for that.
Don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me while I'm killer tofuing. Yeah.
If there's one thing you should know about dwarves, it's don't interrupt their Doug theme song.
No, you should not.
You shouldn't label him like that. It's not nice.
A Doug fan?
Don't interrupt a person when they're
okay. But
I like your approach.
But you call me
approach.
A person, and then you say, "Oh, hey, person. Since you're a person, why don't you fetch me that bowl from the top shelf there?" Well, now the person has a problem.
But I couldn't fetch it either. That shelf is high.
I'm pretty sure you could.
I'd get a ladder.
I mean,
get a ladder.
Okay. I don't know. I don't mind it.
Being called a dwarf?
No.
By Adam?
He calls me a Jew all the time. It's part of the banter.
That is?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
Jew bastard, let's be honest. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I feel better now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
It's not like we just met hours prior to you arriving here.
I still felt like you... It
this
was,
fucking
I felt
midget
like
from
it,
the corner over
I felt
here.
Like it was injected in the statement that didn't need to be there.
No,
there's, believe me, plenty of times when you'd be like, get this fucking dwarf out of here.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're acting like all a dwarf, let's get him out of here.
Can I talk to you for a second? No, I really don't like the change in tone that we just...
Oh, I guess I can't because we haven't been friends for years, but anyway.
Wait, you said acting like a dwarf. What
you know what
entail?
I mean, drunk, trying to wrestle everybody, you know, can't get something off a shelf.
Is that, wait.
Wow.
You know what? Now that I think about it, my people do get drunk and we do like to wrestle.
Really?
I've never seen
you engage in some sort of
I was on the wrestling
battle.
Team in high school.
That's
I got
right.
This, I got this chip on my shoulder, so hey.
You were? And were you good?
I was awesome because everyone
what
in my
was the weight class. They were all string
in,
beans.
Yeah. I was in 103s. Uh-huh. So everyone's like this tall, kid that's just like that like
and they don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, like they got from the tech lab and they're like and they like put them in a singlet.
Yeah.
And then it's like now they're facing me and I'm just like this little bowling ball.
What was your
you've got a good center of gravity.
Yeah,
what was your
center of gravity.
What was your go-to move?
Fireman's carry, motherfucker.
Oh my God. Please give me some sort of active description.
Okay, the fireman's carry is where you do you shoot on the guy. That's where you kind of dive at him and you stick
in my world that means something very different.
I bet. Stick one arm in between their legs and you lift that person up on your shoulders.
Uh-huh.
And then you either
and you pile drive them over to the out of
you
the
don't
circle.
Pile drive. This isn't
shove
world
them out.
Wrestling. This isn't
no, but
Jim
you
Ross.
Shove them out.
Oh, good God Almighty! The midget with the pile driver.
Right, so
sweet Jesus.
Shove him out of the ring. You're
as God is my witness, he is broken in half.
So you're carrying him out of a burning fire.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And now you either carry him or you could flip him over.
To make this as real as possible.
Or you could fall backwards and land on him. That's commonly referred to as a Samoan drop.
That feels very WWF.
It was
well, he was
awesome.
Obsessed with WWF.
One time, his dad was mocking me the entire time because I was facing his son.
What an example to humanity that man was.
Exactly. His name now, Barack Obama. But at the
nice.
Time...
Wouldn't that
Barry.
Be...
It was Barry at the time.
Barry Obama?
Barry Obama.
Wouldn't that be just the best?
So, he's like yelling at his kid, like, don't worry about it. You got this one. You can't... No, he's not doing anything.
Trying to get inside your head.
Yeah, and so... I shot on his kid, picked him up in the fireman's carry, normally supposed to flip him over very fast and go for the pin. This time, I held him up and I walked him
to the dad?
Around the ring. Just walked him around the circle, started spanking him on the butt. Oh,
he's telling you did some sort of like fire siren noise as you were parading him around.
It was Was he by any chance made of wet noodle?
He was entirely wet noodles.
He just allowed this to happen?
Yes. Well,
he didn't fight back?
I'm stronger.
I know, but that you're describing
with
like
better form.
20 seconds of showboating.
Yeah.
Not 20 seconds, maybe like 10.
That's a long time.
That's a lot of showboating.
Was he squirming?
Like, okay, all right.
Or he never wanted to wrestle and his father was just the one who wanted him to?
Probably just pushed him in there. Yeah. But, all right, this kid was built like, okay, picture Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, but instead of a tree, wet noodle. That's how he's built. Mm.
So what was his nickname? Like Fettuccine?
That's his nickname.
We'll be right back.
His nickname was The Scarf.
The Scarf. Nice. That's called an improv one-upping right there.
That
the
is.
The Scarf. No, that's just yes, what I imagined.
That's hilarious.
Wrapping a little wet noodle around your neck. Yeah. Welcome back to the locker
room. A Fettuccine
room.
Scarf.
But yeah.
Did you play any sports?
Wrestling? I did. I played soccer. Always. Always.
Yeah.
Tennis. And then I love to ski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? I've never skied, by the
so
way,
awesome.
And I want to. It's maybe one of the, let's say, top five things I want to do.
I'd be curious, do you surf or anything like that? Or a skateboard?
Oh, I love that you think both those things are something I would do.
I didn't say that.
More like, does he smoke weed and listen to Lionel Richie and play guitar? Those translate
I'm
into
skiing?
I'm
curious the ways his body moves.
I'm a baseball, football, basketball guy.
Okay.
Last night, you should
and
know
tennis. Of course you're a basketball guy.
So, I mean, I would have, if I was 6'4 and not 6'1, I would have for sure tried to play college ball.
When you say tried, what does that mean, though?
Oh, because
does that mean you're good at it?
Yeah, I was really good in high school.
Why couldn't you be a point guard at 6'1"?
Because I was when I was younger.
You didn't expect the bitch to know that.
No, I did. I did.
You've known me long enough to know to not expect anything to come out of my mouth.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
We're going to go and take a commercial break so Adam can figure out what just happened.
Meaning anything that comes out of my mouth, you're like, oh, I accept that she knew that.
No, I feel like you're well-versed in the world
of basketball. It's either all surprising or not surprising at all. I don't know which it is. Yeah. But anyway, go on.
I was super tall as a up until sixth grade, right? So I was a center. So,
oh, okay.
So I developed.
So that was your skill set.
Way to be a one-upper.
I developed.
I know. I'm starting to see how together you're the perfect man. It's all coming together now.
Hey,
it's all
see that
coming
trophy,
together.
Trophy behind me. That's third place in the comedy basketball league. So
2013.
He beat out Carrot Top and Gallagher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish they were in the league. Can
right?
you stop suggesting things that aren't real?
Can you imagine if like you shoot and to block your shot Gallagher takes out the sledge-o-matic? Just boom.
That's so funny.
I'd be the best.
If only you were playing the Harlem Globetrotters when it happened, though.
That would be great.
I loved the
Harlem Globetrotters.
Did you go see them live ever?
Yeah, we used to go see them at the Boston Garden.
Oh, jealous. My God.
Yeah.
As a
they
fam?
They were so good. I think it was me and my brother. There's six kids in my family. I think it was me and my brothers. Like, I think we were very, like, 3 and 3. So the three little ones is what they would call us.
Six kids in your family.
Yeah.
What was the boy-girl dynamic?
Yeah.
Four girls, two boys.
Okay.
Wow.
And you, as a group thing, you all went to see the Harlem Globetrotters?
Me and my brothers and probably my mother, I would say.
Okay. Were you and your brothers closer in age?
Yeah. My brothers are, one's 2 years older and one's 1 year younger.
All right. So
I got the best positioning
for
the females.
Sure, because you're surrounded by dudes on either side.
Great guy. Yeah, two great guys.
Perfect.
Yeah, who are like my very good friends.
That's awesome. That's
yeah, great. I love my brothers. They're awesome.
It seems
I love my sisters too, but I'm just more like my brothers.
Yeah, and also I feel like with six, you can't be close with everybody, right?
Oh, you don't want to be.
No.
you don't.
Why not?
Because it's just fucking six people.
Yeah.
Like, name six people you really like, and then realize that
it would take some time.
Like, there's maybe six. Like, if you were like, you make a list of your top six people because the flood's coming or whatever. You know, like who's coming with you?
Would you guys play that game? You a lot? Would
no. Well, we would.
Boy, things were different.
We
in
would
Boston.
Play. Yeah. We would play survival games in my home, but
we just played Mary Fuck Kill in my house. Up until I was 9.
Always marry mom. Always marry mom.
You want to marry your mother?
You want to fuck your sister? You want to marry your mother?
No, fuck the baby.
You want to kill your father?
Nice.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you're a boy.
This just got super real.
Yeah. Hey, you brought it up.
I brought it up. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah,
no. I would kill my dad.
I mean, who needs him when you get you? When you enter the picture, you don't need him anymore.
You're right.
And like I said, after he had you, I said this before, He was like, job done.
Job done.
Yeah.
I made that.
Seed planted.
Seed planted.
I made that.
I'm checking out.
Yeah. Done. I'll be reading the paper in the corner. Yeah.
So when you were playing.
Cashing them checks.
When you were playing your part in the heat of having. Of
yeah.
Being,
how real
of being
was
in
that?
Melissa's family.
Oh, very real.
And now it seemed like you guys all just did that very seamlessly. Like between you, Bill Burr, like you guys all just
yeah, that
jumped
scene,
into those roles
I mean,
so
that,
well.
Yeah. And everybody in that scene is from.
Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Nate Caudry, Bill Burr.
Except, well, Michael was in the kitchen the whole time. Rappaport's right. Yeah. From New York. Yeah. So he, which was hysterical because he's like the most New York accent.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I was always like, we're just going to pretend this isn't happening.
For sure.
You know, and they're like,
pretty much like Sean
I'm going
Connery.
Down to the yeah. jail because it's like, you know, I want to like go down there and see if they're going to hire me or they're not. Like, it's like to the world, a Boston accent and a New York accent is not that different.
No.
But to a Boston, to the Boston and the New York people, it's like.
Absolutely. It's like Togo's and Subway.
I could not have said it better myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I don't know where Quizno figures into that.
Oh, boy.
That's Jersey, I guess.
Quizno's. The Jersey.
The Jersey of subs.
Wait, but what about Jersey Mike's?
All right, oh, so Quizno's.
Shit. They're the Burbank of Jersey?
But Quizno's not Philly because it's not. It just isn't.
Yeah,
because
that would be a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah. So. What's left? Maryland?
Connecticut?
Sbarro?
Maybe Maryland. Oh. Maybe Quiznos is the Maryland of subs.
Well, I don't like
the
that.
The Delaware
I got a weird
subs.
Feeling when you said that.
But the Delaware of subs.
So that role was like perfect for you guys.
Yes, it was. Because also my mother, let's just say I'm not related to people like that.
Gotcha.
But also that's my sort of favorite thing about Boston anyway, and I think that's why we all had so much fun doing that little thing, was because there's such a specific Boston sense of humor. Mm-hmm. and there really are these kind of like types, you know, and
yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'll be this type and you'll be that type and you'll be that
which
type.
Is very what honest, raw, like talking over each other. I mean, it's really-
I just mean like, oh, I like, I love doing Gina because I think, which was my character's name, because I think that Gina thinks that she is the most beautiful woman in any room that she walks into.
Mm-hmm.
And that
sense.
Is like such a powerful place to operate from. That would not be where I would operate from in my own life. Mm-hmm. My own life, second most beautiful woman that walks into.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, and that's a really tough place to be, guys.
Sure.
You know?
It's tough to be on Rita Rudner's coattails.
When Paula Poundstone and Rita Rudner walk
yeah,
in, everybody
don't be in
forgets
the same
about
room.
Jessica Chaffin, I'll tell you that much.
That's the opening line to the one-act play, Where is Goldblum?
That's right. That's when I have to start like tripping on things just to get some guy to give me a hand to get up. But yeah, that just that idea of like being in a scene with Sandy, you know, and like Sandra Bullock, and being like, oh, this must be really hard for you that I'm more beautiful than you. Like that was like, is this hard for you? Is it hard for
line.
You that I'm so much more attractive than you? And it was just, it's just like, that's just so funny to me, that idea of like that someone could think that. And really believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And that your gross boyfriend would believe it, too.
Oh, you
like, be like, oh, that skinny bitch? Like, it's like, oh, you mean the most beautiful woman in the world? That skinny bitch? Like, I wouldn't touch that. You know,
I have been trying to get Katie Dipple to write a Joey Mack, Jessica Chaffin. Chaffin or Chaffin?
It's Chaffin.
Chaffin. I think I said it right
both
times.
But I don't care.
You don't care?
As long as someone's saying it. Paul has this true. Weird...
But I think you should be in a spinoff of those two characters. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, man, I want way more of that.
Have you really suggested it to her?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Drunk.
I don't
Drunk
believe
in Budapest.
There is a Gina and Beth movie that has been written for me and Jamie.
That's incredible.
That's written, and Joey and Nader in it.
Jamie Denbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is not... I mean, I don't know. Maybe someday they'll make it. Like, I don't know. You know, it's still in the, like...
Yeah.
In the question mark. But it's very
funny. But it's
funny.
It's
in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Trisha McAlpin wrote it. Do you know Trisha? Did you meet her? She wasn't in Budapest when you were there. But she's a super funny writer from UCB, and she is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it's a very, very funny script. So maybe someday.
And did you meet your comedy partner at the Heat, or did you guys already know each other? You and
we
and
do a show
Jamie.
Called Rana and Beverly together.
Yes, which I watched
multiple episodes of today.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, loved
no,
it.
What?
Loved every second of it.
You should come see it live, and you should be a guest on our podcast.
I would love
both y'all.
I'd be honored.
But all y'all bitches should be on our podcast. Yeah.
Now, I saw one when you were with Joey McIntyre, and Joey Mack was on your podcast.
Joey Mack is my, I love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot, it is so funny that I'm friends with Joey McIntyre.
Oh, yeah. He like, sat there with a bottle of whiskey.
He's the greatest.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's the loveliest guy ever.
Yeah.
He like, we were hanging out one day, me and Adam, and all of a sudden, Adam looks down at his phone, and he goes, hey, Joey McIntyre just texted me and asked me if he wants, I told him I was with you, and if we want to go watch the New Kids on the Block rehearse for their tour.
We were trying to meet up before he left on tour, and then he's like, man, I'm just so busy, you just want to come to the rehearsal space and kick it for a little bit, and we can shoot you can hang out, and then when we have a break, we can, you know, go get some coffee or something. So we went and watched the rehearsal.
Oh my God.
It was just Brad and I, like, and then in the choreographer, and we're like,
nobody else in the room. So when we walked in the room, all the New Kids like stopped, like, who are these motherfuckers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How about the shape those guys are in?
Oh my
fantastic
God.
Fantastic shape.
Speaking of Katie Dippold and I and Nate Cordry,
ooh,
went to the show.
Yeah.
At the Staples Center. I mean, at the Forum.
Well done.
Can we talk about how much I love the Forum?
It's the best.
It's fucking awesome.
Just saw you two there. Amazing.
I bet they were great there. It's fantastic. Like, I had never been to the Forum. I was there the week before. I was at a boxing match the week before.
Okay.
Because I made friends with one of the security guards because I was there the week before that for the New Kids.
Well done.
And I came in through that Forum Club entrance.
Yeah.
Ooh, fancy.
And well, I basically, the other thing is they're like so just getting their act together over there that I was like, I'm supposed to park here. And they were like, oh, all right. Like,
yeah,
you know,
good
like,
for you. Yeah.
And I was just like, I have a VIP situation. Like, and I've actually never done that, but like, I've never been good at talking my way into somewhere because I'm always like, I always think five steps ahead. It's like the texting people. I don't realize that everybody's dumb and that you're just like, no, Jedi mind trick. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, just tell them what you want and then they'll give it to you because they don't want to have to think about what to do.
Right.
And instead, what I think is like, oh, well, they're just going to say this and then they're going to say that and they're going to say, but they're going to say no. So don't, like, why would they say yes? There's no reason to say yes. You're not supposed to be in there.
Yeah.
But really, they just don't want to, like, deal with it.
No.
Like, oh, no, this woman's going to say more.
Yeah.
Just let her in.
Just do what you're going to. Yeah.
She's going to say more things, and we want it to stop. But I made friends with a little security guard, and then I was like, I'll see you next week for you, too. And I was like, what's on next week? And she's like, you, too. And I was like, maybe.
Let's give the just a breakdown of you two versus New Kids. What do you get? What do you don't get with each show the other one provides?
I mean, you get a lot of social commentary seeing a U2 show. You get a lot of songs being interrupted by Bono going on a rant about how we're doing amazing things in Africa, trying to wipe out AIDS.
Is he really teeny tiny in person?
Is he
smaller than you thought he would be?
You're talking to a guy who's 4'4", so if you're like 5'1", I'm like, he's huge!
I'm talking to
a
guy who's 4'4", like he's a guy. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
People are people are people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if they're smaller.
Yep.
But Bono is not a big person, right?
Correct. He's not a tall guy.
Are they all small?
But his stage presence is gigantic, and he is and that feels awkward to say because it seems like cliche. But then you see U2 perform, you're like, oh yeah, that's why you're the number one band in the world.
But he had a terrible bike accident. So was he still like? Was he in top form when you saw him?
He couldn't play guitar, but everything else was all right. He was running around. During elevation, he ran from one side of the stage to the other, like full sprint. And when you see like an almost 60-year-old guy sprint and sprint faster than I could do it, you're like, all right, good on you.
Those guys are in such sick shape.
They gotta be.
I saw the Killers once at the Hollywood Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you right now, I have a soft spot for that Brandon Flowers.
Brandon Flowers.
He's the most beautiful Mormon that the angel Moroni I ever put on this planet. Like, I was like, oh boy. I don't know. There's something about his pansexual something that really just
bubbles your soup.
It's not like bubbles that's a type soup that I'm interested in.
Oh, really?
I don't like androgynous men. Like, that's not, like, I'm always puzzled by the skinny rockers that women fall for.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But he has got something.
Yeah. He's a skinny rocker.
He wears eyeliner really well. He does. He's good. But he is so, his performance was so athletic and so it was just like, wow. It just, these guys are in sick shape.
Did you interview Joey as Ron and Beverly? Have you guys, did you?
We've had him on the stage show and in the podcast. Oh, and on the amazing podcast. Yeah, yeah. He's so great. Where, I love him so much.
Where did these, well, I guess first when you and Jamie met, like, did
are
you?
Are we bored yet, guys?
No.
No. Are you kidding me?
Do you think the audience is?
Fuck no.
Probably a little.
Why would you think that?
Because like, who cares? How many podcasts?
Oh God!
You know what I mean?
Jeez, they're definitely going to be more engaged because you're one of the, you're maybe the only guest who talks and then 20 seconds in goes, ah, but fucking, what does it matter?
Well, really though, like.
We're getting kind of existential right here.
Well, maybe is this all? Are we?
Let's
hitting,
come to something interesting.
Are we hitting repeat? Do you want to talk about something that you?
Oh no! Yeah. We can talk about anything you want
to
talk about.
To us, it's very interesting.
Yeah,
and if it's interesting to us, it's interesting to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Says, well, let's get ready for some mail. You just opened yourself up to some mail. Be
can't,
like,
can't
actually, guys, what's really interesting to me is not, go back to the one about do men care what sexual positions they're in based on how they look.
We haven't talked about that in a while.
Yeah. I just think there's more pressure for girls to like, but also that's part of the fun of the game.
Yeah.
Picking out the right lingerie, all that shit.
All that stuff's fun.
Yeah.
And all
does it bother you? Okay, here's one.
Shopping at Victoria's Secret by myself?
Oh, wait,
sure.
Have either of you ever bought lingerie for a lady friend?
Yeah, I have. Of course.
I think that's despicable. Because then you have to know their sizes.
Oh.
See, that would be me. Because I'm not like a two.
But like,
I don't want to shock anyone that hasn't Googled me yet, but I'm not a two.
But like, here's the thing about guys is we don't know what those numbers mean. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you go,
if I was like, I'm a 24.
I'd be like, okay.
Cool. Which I'm not.
I'd be like, cool, that was Ken Griffey Jr.'s number. Yeah. And then I would buy that.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, we don't know. Like, guys know what double D is, and that's about it.
Oh, that's because that's like, you learned that when you're like seven, and you're like, she's got double Ds.
It was so fun to say that, too.
Yeah. Double Ds.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you care what, do you have, do either of you have like an aesthetic thing where like you care what your lady wears to bed? Or is it like, it can be an old T-shirt? Or is it like, what's the...
For me, you wear sweatpants and a tank top, I'm happy.
That's fine. As long as the boobs, care. You can see the outline of the boobs.
I think you have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't want...
I'm a fan.
Like, if we just went out all night and we were at bars or we were at a concert or we did something, I don't expect you then to get home and be like, hold on, now I have to get ready for bed for you. Like, no.
No, but...
Hop in bed.
She assuming... I mean, she could be wearing a great set underneath all of
that. It's all,
I think
it's
that's always a nice treat, isn't it?
I think you change
where
it
you're wearing casual wear and then you're like, oh, excuse me.
Oops.
Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a nice surprise.
Yeah, I think the surprises are important. I think every now, but I'm a big fan of the PJ attire.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then.
Loungewear,
sure.
Be comfortable.
Every now and then, throw in some of that lingerie that I uncomfortably bought you.
Like on Christmas Eve.
Hey, I didn't know yellow wasn't a popular color. That's what the old Korean lady suggested.
And you know those sales associates at Victoria's Secret, they love making the guys uncomfortable. Like,
for
okay,
sure.
Okay, so like, what is her cup
is
size?
Is she like me?
Yeah.
Or is she?
Yeah. And then and they hate when you walk in and go, what are the dildos on? They don't like when you...
Yeah. Well, they should get used to that. I mean, that's where they work.
Thank you and thank you.
That's where they work.
That's where they work. What do you... Is there an equivalent, I think, for women for dudes? No, right? Have you guys...
Shopping for baseball cards? I don't know.
You mean what you guys wear?
Nice. Brad is 9 years old.
I think...
Double D's and baseball cards.
Woohoo!
You mean like what men wear around?
Yeah. Like what's our to bed attire?
Well, I have a very strict rule about no shirt or pants that have been out of the house can be in the bed.
Big fan of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got
to
be
like,
clean.
Like, you can't go to work in your T-shirt all day and come home and then be like, I'm just going to put on some pajama bottoms.
Yikes.
It's like,
people
if
do that.
You want to bring the filth of the world into someone else's bed. Because, I mean, and I've said this before, so I'm repeating myself, but I do think letting a man sleeping in your bed is like letting a wild animal sleep in your bed. Like, you have to really want them to be, they shed everywhere and they're like filthy
Yikes.
Creatures.
You got to stop dating Persians.
Like, even if you, meanwhile, don't tell me you don't wake up like and have shed it everywhere in your
No.
room. You?
Yeah.
You're a pretty hairy guy.
He has very dark colored sheets. He doesn't know.
Not on like the back?
Not, but like you have chest hair.
Sure, I'm a man.
Yeah. Correct. I know because I saw it last night.
Tune in at 11 for the full podcast.
No, but like you, I hear you shed. Yeah. A it's like bit. Letting the dogs. Does the dog sleep in the bed or it doesn't sleep in the bed?
Okay.
But the so you basically have to be like, yeah, I want this creature here for sure. You know. But I also am like, I can't sleep in an unmade bed.
Okay.
Like I want to like tuck into bed yeah, like a storybook creature every night. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, you want to feel like, oh, this is fresh just for me.
Totally.
And so anyway, but I think I mean, I think overall people should be comfortable, but I also think it's probably a pretty good rule that like every 6 months you should throw out all your underwear and get new underwear.
Every 6 months?
Because yeah. I think that your men's underpants get baggy.
They do. They do that.
And that's yeah. gross.
I'm not
like a have a little bit more pride.
Sure.
That.
Because the same way we enjoy the outline of the boob, you girls love the outline
of the ass.
Yeah.
Or the package is what you're gonna say.
Whichever one
ass.
You prefer.
Say ass. Say ass.
I think. Well, I think.
Hey, the outline
look,
package.
Look, if you're
is just
a man
important.
Who's got a if you're a man who's got a great ass, congratulations. Because that is something
show
to see.
Show it off, yeah.
So, nice buns, that's something to see.
Got it!
But some men just don't have an ass. Yeah. So what are you going
to
do?
What a bummer to live in that world.
Literally.
I hate to do this to you. I have a show. I have to go. But
am really? I staying
yeah.
here?
You can stay. You and Adam can have your moment.
We'll finish
up. Oh, fine.
Oh, Brad,
alone
dangerous.
At last.
You can rekindle the fires.
Have we done an hour already?
We have.
We okay. must have, I guess.
Yeah. So,
people are probably bored anyway.
Fuck no.
No, they're still and now I'm introducing a brand new chapter where it's like, ooh, and now Jess and Adam
but
alone.
Now I'll be sad without Brad here.
I know.
It happens.
Well,
I mean,
all right.
You just have to...
Where's your show?
My show is at a bar down in Orange County.
Oh, Jesus.
A friend of mine got me to do it.
That's
so.
Not a friend.
What?
Really not.
I live in Orange County. So
it is,
I,
what day of the week is it? Tuesday?
It's Tuesday. Yeah. It's
you
fine.
Live in Orange County now?
I used to. So it's all like, it's all.
Are you
it's
from
all like
Orange
place.
County?
Yes. I'm from there. Huh. So I'm going to go see family and go hang out with friends. And
can I ask a quick question before
can,
you
can
go?
Fire away.
Can you do 3 minutes and we'll wrap it up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah? For sure.
When you see,
I've heard that from women many
when
times.
When you see other dwarves
yes.
on the street.
We engage in a knife fight, yes.
Do you like each other automatically? Do you have are you automatically like, we've got something to talk about? Or you're like, you don't notice?
There's always kind of like the nod.
That's a legitimate question.
Yeah, no, and this is a legitimate answer. There's always the nod of like, sup?
Sup.
Like, we know this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if it is a dude, if it's a male little person and we're kind of at a bar and I'm hanging out and all of a sudden a male little person walks in, there is a part of me that goes, hey, bro, I like to be the only one.
I was wondering
what
about
the
that.
Fuck? Get out. This is
I
my,
was wondering about
this
that.
Is my, this is my turf. And then I start like walking towards him, like West Side Story.
Okay, here's another question about that.
Okay.
If you don't mind, these are real questions. Because I have a theory about like pregnant people.
Okay.
Which is that when you're pregnant, for the year that you're pregnant or whatever it is,
yeah.
10 months, you're famous.
Mm-hmm.
People let you sit down. They come into a restaurant, you get to sit down first.
Right.
And the subway, people give you your seat. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to talk about when you're expecting and
sure.
what it
yeah.
is. And
it's a great icebreaker.
And like, oh, it's so wonderful. Everyone's so excited for you.
Yeah. Yep. And like, you're creating life. You're a wonderful person.
Same theory for people that are sick when they're children. Mm-hmm. Everybody's always everybody builds their whole
how
life
is Bobby?
Around
does he still
the
have the
sick
chicken
person.
Pox? Yeah.
No, I don't mean chicken pox. I mean like a kid that has cancer or a kid that
Jesus.
Has like cystic fibrosis. It's like, everything in the family is always directed at mm-hmm. that person. So mm-hmm. it's always like, we deal with that first and then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
I am wondering if there is a thing with little people mm-hmm. where there's a kind of like innate narcissism, even though it can be, it's inverted because of course it's like there's all these other challenges in the world, like
sure.
just because this is the world and
sure.
like that will knock you back and you have to know how to deal with that and all that stuff.
Okay.
But is there a little bit of the thing where you're saying like, I kind of like to be the only one in the bar.
I do.
Where like,
kinda
when
like
you're getting
the
right
the
kind
bar.
Of attention, you're
yeah.
like,
I'm digging this.
I'm sort of
yeah.
the greatest one here.
There's absolutely that.
So do you find that a lot of little people are jerks?
Well, like,
are they
not
like
to
only
me.
Children?
I think the same proportionate number of little people are jerks that are like in terms of you
okay.
meet six people randomly, how many of them are assholes?
Okay.
Probably the same ratio for little people.
So I'm an ignorant fuck is what we've learned.
No, but I think you did touch on something where we do kind of like to be, I do kind of like to be the only one in the room because that's my thing. That's how I stand out in the bar. Like when you're at a Hollywood nightclub and everyone's trying to get the attention of everyone, I walk in and I'll go, ha ha, this is what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Have you ever dated another little person?
Absolutely. Yeah. I used to exclusively date them.
And you were like, these fuckers are short.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
No. There was definitely a bond there that I could never have with a tall woman just because it's impossible.
You get it.
Yeah.
It's
but,
like dating a Jew.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
No offense, Adam.
But is it? But
I'm not super
but Jews
Jewy,
don't get special
Jewish
parking.
Jewish men are not.
I'm not. Yeah, but how
Jews
Jewish?
Don't get special parking. Yeah. They do if they have the right hookup. But they, yeah, but that's true. Yeah.
Valet. But yeah. But then I started dating tall women. Now I'm still very attracted to dwarf women.
Uh huh.
Got no problems with that whatsoever.
Well, so it's just whoever the person. It's about the person.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm just better than everyone else, that I really don't see physical appearance, that it's whatever size you are. But, yeah, I'm pretty much better.
Yeah. I think that's where we got.
Yeah.
That's where we ended up.
And you thought this was going to be boring.
You're better.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting for me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's very interesting.
Jessica,
we'll get into this. Yeah. Ronna and Beverly will get into this.
Oh. Yeah.
If you think you can handle Beverly interviewing you as a dad,
I can't wait for that. It's going to be
then
fun.
Then I think we can handle this.
Well, yeah. I wanted to get into more of that, yeah. But we'll do that next time you come back. And we also, you know, we'll do that.
We'll have a sequel.
Oh, no.
Get ready for the letters, guys.
Yikes.
Complaints.
You can have your toothbrush
this way.
Then.
Complaints coming this way.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This was fun.
It was fun.
A lot of fun.
It went by really quick.
And
I want to do this for another hour.
It was as though we were having a drink together.
but we didn't.
Because these boys didn't offer me anything to drink.
Did you want one?
No, Adam did give me a beautiful bottle of Dasani.
Did you want a drink?
Not my water of choice.
The About Last Night podcast, sponsored by Dasani Water.
Oh, you watch yourself.
Dasani
they don't
water.
Pay us anything.
Oh, they don't? Oh, okay, shit. Sorry.
I mean Arrowhead. I mean
Sparklets. Plug your stuff. Do you have Twitter,
oh,
podcast,
I'm terrible
all
at this.
That?
We'll do it all in an intro. Yeah, we do the... Anyway, okay.
Let my voice
care,
do it.
If this was mildly entertaining
Stop
to you,
it. Yeah.
Look it up. Ronna and Beverly, we do shows at the UCB every month. We have a podcast on Earwolf. Please listen to our podcast. I do think it's wonderful.
It is.
I really do. I really think that. I listen to it.
A lot of people do.
And I can't stand the sound of my own voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a bummer, because I love
it. It's a great voice.
Hold on.
Talk slower.
Oh, nice. You could be a phone sex operator.
No, you don't want to do that. You have a show. You got to keep it all in.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
After the show.
Save it up, Brad.
How awesome would it be to Brad leaves to go to a show, which he's about to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam and I have exchange pleasantries.
Yeah.
I leave in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I walk outside and Brad is jacking off in his car. I would be like, yeah, that's the ultimate compliment, Brad.
All right.
Thank you.
Tell you what, Jess.
Thank you.
Give me 4 minutes.
Just for me. Just
Yikes.
For me.
It takes you 4 minutes. Well,
no, he's
going
to get in the car, get all his stuff organized.
Yeah,
I don't think that's what he meant.
Answer a few texts.
I think that is what he meant.
Yeah.
Let me get out to the car.
Yeah.
Let me get organized.
Answer
a few texts. You're going to do business beforehand? So you'd get in the car knowing that jerking off is definitely in your future.
Sure.
And you would like sift through your emails.
He wants to quiet his time. He's clearing out the space.
Maybe just turn the phone
off. It's like meditating. It's like meditating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So give me four minutes.
And you're parked on Laurel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
And maybe when you see like that he's like getting close, just like
look away.
No, you make direct eye contact.
You look him in the eyes when he comes.
Is that what you want?
No, if you want your wishes to come
true.
Is
that what you want? Oh.
So, Jess,
it all makes sense now.
See you in four?
Yes, it was a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
You were
pleasure
so,
meeting
this
you.
Was the best.
You too.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Can help you get through the fucking day.
everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast, give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.